Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. Ready to explore something new today?
Always.
Today, we're going to tackle model-based systems engineering.
MBSE.
MBSE, yeah, you got it.
Catchy acronym, right?
It is. But is it all it's cracked up to be? You know, revolutionizing systems engineering? Or is it just hype?
Well, there's definitely been a lot of buzz.
For sure.
Especially in the engineering world.
So we're diving into a paper today to try and figure this out.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, it's a conference paper from way back in 2013.
Wow, 2013.
I know. By this guy, Joseph Kassa, seasoned systems engineer.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a knack for, you know, challenging the status quo, really pushing people to think critically.
Kind of a contrarian.
A little bit, yeah. And even though this paper's over a decade old, his insights on MBSE are still surprisingly relevant today.
Yeah, especially since the field's still evolving.
Right, exactly.
And what's really interesting about his approach is that he doesn't just focus on the technical stuff.
Yeah.
He brings in all these historical examples and connects MBSE to other fields, like operations research. It's kind of a mind-blowing, multifaceted perspective.
Well, that's why we picked this paper for today's deep dive, right?
It's a good one.
So first things first, we got to start with the basics. What exactly MBS, model-based systems engineering, according to Kassa?
Well, that's where it gets interesting. Even back then, like over 10 years ago,
there
wasn't just one, you know, universally accepted definition.
Really?
Yeah, some people were super focused on the technical side, like using formal models throughout the design lifecycle.
Okay.
But then others were emphasizing this like philosophical shift. Yeah. They were advocating for a more, you know, holistic and integrated approach to systems engineering in general.
So even back then, the experts couldn't agree on what MBSE actually was.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, right?
I mean, it's a little concerning, isn't it? If we're trying to figure out if it's worth all the hype.
Well, think of it this way. It just shows that MBSE is a dynamic field, still in its early stages. It's like anything new, right? There's going to be some debate and disagreement as people try to define it and figure out its potential.
Okay, that makes sense. But, you know, I got to be honest, this whole idea of using models to design systems, it doesn't sound that revolutionary. Haven't engineers been doing that, like, forever?
You're totally right. Kassa actually acknowledges that. He argues that MBSE is kind of like a return to the A paradigm of systems engineering.
The A paradigm?
Yeah, it was popular back in the 60s and 70s.
Got it.
And it emphasized this idea of defining the system's concept of operations before anything else.
Concept of operations?
Yeah, or CONOP PS.
Okay, hold on. What exactly is a CONOP PS?
So think of it like a high-level blueprint, you know?
Okay.
It describes how the system will actually be used to achieve its goals, its purpose.
Mm.
It outlines the missions, the scenarios the system might be involved in, the different actors.
The actors?
Yeah, the people or other systems interacting with it.
Oh, okay.
And most importantly, the outcomes you want it to produce.
So like a user manual, but for the whole system.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
Interesting. So how does this whole A paradigm and CONOP PS thing connect to MBSE?
Well, Kassa's point is that the A paradigm is all about starting with the big picture, the why, before you get lost in the technical details.
Right.
And that's where MBSE comes in. By using models to represent the system and its CONOP PS, engineers can explore different design options, identify potential problems, you know, early on.
Before it's too late.
Exactly. And make sure that the system actually meets its intended purpose, like it's actually useful.
I see. So it's not just about creating these, like, pretty diagrams.
Right.
It's about using those diagrams to make better decisions throughout the whole design process.
Exactly.
Interesting. And Kassa actually uses a historical example to illustrate this, right?
Yeah. He talks about NASA's success back in the 60s and 70s.
The Apollo missions, all that.
Exactly. Like landing a man on the moon, he argues that part of their success was due to, you know, their focus on developing super detailed CONOP PS.
Makes sense. If you're trying to land someone on the moon, you better know how you're going to do it before you build the rocket.
Right. And this principle applies to, you know, any complex system, really.
So designing a new aircraft.
A medical device, a software app.
Got it. But Kassa also acknowledges that MBSE is about more than just models, right?
Absolutely. He actually sees it as a way to improve communication,
Oh.
traceability, and knowledge sharing across all the different teams involved.
Because in traditional systems engineering, all that information is just scattered everywhere, right?
Totally. Different documents, formats.
Yeah.
It's like trying to assemble
Oh,
furniture
yeah.
with instructions in different languages spread out over multiple manuals.
You'd never get it done.
Exactly.
Right.
Frustrating and error prone.
Absolutely.
But with MBSE, everyone can access the same model. It's a single source of truth, so to speak.
So everyone's on the same page.
Oh, exactly. Reduces miscommunication.
Makes it easier to track changes.
Yeah, and all the decisions being made.
That's got to be incredibly useful, especially for those massive projects with tons of teams and stakeholders.
For sure.
But even with all these potential benefits,
Yeah.
Kasser isn't like blindly advocating for MBSE, right?
Not at all. He's got some pretty strong critiques.
He does.
Oh, yeah. He's not afraid to challenge the hype and highlight the potential downsides of MBSE.
Well, that's what makes this paper so interesting. So, what are some of his main concerns?
One of the biggest ones is this heavy emphasis on requirements in MBSE.
Okay.
He argues that requirements are just a means to an end. They're tools, not the goal itself.
So it's like focusing on the ingredients of a cake,
Yeah.
but not considering who you're baking it for or
Exactly.
the
You
occasion.
might end up with a technically perfect cake, but is it the right cake?
That might be a fruitcake when everyone wants chocolate.
Exactly. And Kasser worries that this laser focus on requirements can make the design approach too narrow, too inflexible.
I see, yeah.
He wants engineers to keep the big picture in mind, make sure that the system actually meets the needs of its users.
Humans who are going to be using it. Yeah. Makes
Sure.
a lot of sense. What else does he critique?
Well, another thing is this push for a single universal modeling language for MBSE.
Oh,
You
interesting.
know, like one language to rule them all.
Makes sense on the surface.
It does, but he thinks that different types of systems and projects just benefit from different modeling approaches.
It's like assuming there's one perfect programming language for every task.
That's a great analogy.
Right. Some are better for certain applications than others.
Exactly.
So you're saying different modeling languages might be better for different types of systems.
Precisely. He doesn't think it should be a one-size-fits-all situation.
Got it. So what's his third concern?
He calls it a lack of holistic thinking.
What does he mean by that?
He thinks some people get so caught up in the technical parts of modeling
Yeah.
that they kind of forget how MBSE fits into the bigger picture of systems engineering
Ah, I
and
see.
all these other relevant fields. He even points out that a lot of the concepts being promoted in MBSE aren't even new.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he argues that it's basically reinventing ideas from fields like operations
Which
research.
has been using models and simulations forever.
Exactly, for decades. He even mentions this one example, the operations concept Harbinger.
What's that?
It was developed in Australia way back in the early 2000s.
Go ahead.
It was this multimedia prototype
Yeah.
that basically functioned as a ConOps and requirements repository. Like it had these measures of effectiveness for different scenarios built right in, all
Yeah.
before MBSE was even a popular term.
So is he saying that MBSE isn't as groundbreaking as people think?
Well, he's not dismissing it completely.
Okay.
He recognizes that it's brought a lot of attention to the importance of models and simulations,
Right.
and he sees the potential, but
But he thinks we can do better.
exactly. He thinks we need to smarten it up.
Smarten up. How do we do that?
He says MBSE tools need to be more intelligent.
More intelligent.
Yeah, they need features that go beyond basic modeling, beyond just drawing connections.
Okay, give me an example. What kind of features?
Well, he suggests things like built-in text clarification for requirements.
What do you mean? Like, if a requirement is poorly written.
Exactly, like a tool that could analyze the wording and flag anything that's ambiguous or poorly structured. Imagine how much time that could
Oh,
save.
wow. Instead of arguing over interpretations.
Exactly. We could focus on the real design
That
challenges.
would be incredible. What else?
He also suggests feasibility checkers.
Feasibility checker.
Yeah, like imagine being alerted to a requirement that's just not achievable.
Oh, because of like technology limits or budget constraints?
Exactly. It would be like having a virtual advisor saying, hey, that's not going to work. Let's rethink this.
That would save so much heartache down the road.
Right. And he even talks about tools that could identify information gaps.
Information gaps.
Yeah, you know, when you're working on something and suddenly realize there's a crucial piece of information missing.
Oh, all the time. You end up digging through emails and chasing down experts.
It's a nightmare. But Kasser imagines tools that could proactively alert you to those missing pieces, streamlining the whole design process.
That would be amazing. Anything else?
He also talks about tools that could automatically generate test cases.
Oh, wow. For testing the system.
Yeah. Think how much time and effort that could save, especially for really complex systems.
That's incredible. So we're not just talking about automating tasks here.
No.
We're talking about fundamentally changing how systems engineering is done.
It's a shift from documents to data, from static representations to dynamic models, from isolated teams to collaborative networks.
That's a huge change.
And Kasser's insights from 2013 are even more relevant today.
Because AI and machine learning are advancing so rapidly.
Exactly. We have the technology, we have the vision.
So what's holding us back?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I think one challenge is just overcoming inertia, you know?
Inertia?
Yeah, the way things have always been done.
The good old, we've always done it this way argument.
Exactly. A lot of organizations are just resistant to change, especially when it means learning new skills.
And changing mindsets.
Totally. It's understandable. But if we want to stay competitive, we got to embrace new approaches.
Right. What else is holding us back?
Well, we also need more research and development, to be honest.
Okay.
We need to move beyond just talking about it, you know.
The theory.
Yeah, the theory. We need to build the next generation of MBSE tools.
Tools that can do all the things Kasser was talking about.
Exactly. Tools that are intelligent, integrated, and easy to use so that everyone can benefit.
So it's a call to action for all the brilliant minds out there.
It is.
Let's take Kasser's ideas and actually make them a reality.
I agree. There's so much potential here to, you know, transform how we design and build complex systems.
All right. So we've covered a lot of ground today. Let's try to summarize this for our listeners.
Okay.
What are the key takeaways? The things people should remember about MBSE?
Well, I think the first one is that MBSE is not just about using models. It's about using them effectively and intelligently.
Right. It's not a magic bullet.
Exactly. It's a tool, a powerful tool, but it's just one piece of the puzzle.
So don't just jump on the bandwagon because it's the latest trend.
Right. Exactly. Do your research.
Understand how it fits into your specific context.
I agree. And I think the second takeaway is that MBSE is not a finished product. It's still evolving.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah. And the most exciting developments are still to come as we integrate AI, machine learning, all these cutting-edge technologies.
That's what makes it so fascinating, right?
It is.
And Kasser actually left us with a really interesting question, a question for our listeners to ponder.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
If you were designing the next generation of MBSE tools,
yeah,
what intelligent feature would you prioritize and why?
That's a good one. What would you prioritize?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. Maybe a tool that could automatically generate requirements.
Oh, from like a high-level ConeMPS.
Exactly. Yeah. Or maybe a system that could predict potential risks.
Based on historical data.
Right. Or simulation.
So many possibilities.
Or maybe, you know, going in a slightly different direction, maybe a platform that makes collaboration easier.
Oh, between engineers, project managers, stakeholders.
Right. So everyone's on the same page, working from the same understanding.
That's crucial.
Because ultimately, it's not just about automating tasks.
No.
It's about fostering a culture of collaboration, communication, you know, really working together effectively.
And that actually brings up another really important point that Kasser makes, this shift from a document-centric approach to a data-centric one.
What do you mean?
Well, he talks about moving beyond treating documents as the ultimate source of truth.
Okay.
And instead thinking of them as representations of underlying data.
Interesting. I like to think of it as like the difference between using a printed map.
Oh, yeah.
And using a GPS navigation system.
I see where you're going with this.
Right. The map is static. It's limited.
It's outdated as soon as it's printed.
Exactly. But the GPS, it's dynamic.
Real-time data.
Traffic conditions, alternative routes.
I have a whole other level of awareness.
Right. And in the same way, GPS has, you know, revolutionized how we navigate the physical world.
Yeah.
A data-centric approach to MBSE could revolutionize how we navigate system design.
That's a brilliant analogy.
Because imagine being able to, like, trace a requirement all the way back to its origin in the ConeMPS.
Or see how a design change impacts the schedule.
Or the budget in real time.
That's the kind of transparency MBSE promises.
But to make this work, we need to make sure the data is, you know, high quality.
And well organized.
Easily accessible.
Exactly. And that's where the integrated information environment comes in.
The IE.
Yeah, the IE. It's a system where all the project-related information is stored in a central database.
So no more hunting through mountains of documents.
No more trying to keep track of changes across different files.
That sounds like a dream come true.
It could be. A well-designed IE can really improve communication.
And collaboration?
Everyone has access to the same information, presented in a way that makes sense for their role.
No more silos.
No more information bottlenecks.
Okay, I'm starting to see the potential here. MBSE, when done right, with intelligent features, a robust IE, and a data-centric mindset.
It could transform systems engineering as we know it.
It could, but we can't forget about the human element.
Right, the people involved.
Because even with the most sophisticated tools, it's still people who make the decision.
You interpret the data.
And drive the design process.
MBSE can help, but it can't replace human expertise.
So we need engineers who aren't just, like, technically skilled, but who are also systems thinkers.
People who see the big picture.
Understand how things are interconnected.
And can make sound judgments, you know, using both data and intuition.
It's a delicate balance.
It is. And we need leaders who are willing to embrace this new way of working.
Invest in training.
Foster a culture of collaboration.
Continuous improvement.
Because MBSE isn't just a technological shift.
It's a cultural shift.
A new way of thinking about system design.
It's a journey, not a destination.
And the most important thing is to have a clear vision of where you're going and why.
And be willing to learn and adapt along the way, right? Because the field of MBSE is constantly changing.
It is. It's so dynamic.
So we have to stay curious and, you know, keep challenging those assumptions.
Keep pushing the boundaries.
Exactly.
It's an exciting time to be in systems engineering, that's for sure.
It really is. And I think Kasser's paper gives us a really great framework for, you know, thinking about all of this.
Yeah, it does.
Thinking about how MBSE can really help us design those better, more complex systems.
Efficiently, too.
For sure. Well, we've covered a lot today.
A lot.
We started by exploring what MBSE is and how it relates to those, you know, those historical approaches to systems engineering.
The A paradigm.
Right, exactly. And then we looked at Kasser's critiques.
Those were really insightful.
They were. And we highlighted, you know, some of his concerns, like the overemphasis on requirements.
That single modeling language debate.
And, of course, the need for that more holistic perspective.
Right, thinking about the bigger picture.
Exactly. And then we explored his vision for, you know, the future of MBSE.
Smartening up the tools.
Exactly. Yeah. With those intelligent features like automated requirement checking, feasibility analysis.
Risk monitoring.
All that good stuff. And we also talked about that shift from a document-centric approach.
To a more data-centric one.
Right. And the importance of having that, you know, that robust integrated information environment.
The IE.
The IE, which can really help with transparency and traceability.
Absolutely. And fostering collaboration.
And throughout our conversation today, we've kind of woven in those thought-provoking questions that Kasser posed.
Oh, yeah.
Challenging us to really think about, like, how we would design those next-gen MBSE tools.
It's a fun thought experiment.
It is. It is. So if you're, you know, if you're intrigued by all of this.
By MBSE and.
And you want to learn more, we really encourage you to check out Kasser's paper.
Yeah, give it a read.
Dive into that world of model-based systems engineering yourself.
It's a fascinating field.
It is. And, you know, it's constantly evolving, so there's always something new to discover.
Always.
Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into MBSE.
It's been fun.
It has. And we'll see you next time for another insightful exploration.
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. Why not take a moment and join the discussion in the LinkedIn group, Tackling Complex Problems? Take care.